All right, the book of Luke, chapter 10. You know, as I was getting ready for church this morning, I noticed that, I've never had a problem with my height up until recently. And what I realized is that I am just too tall. I'm sure y'all noticed that same thing, but, when I was only 4 foot tall, I didn't have any problem. I always had enough hair on my head. And the only thing I can figure is that when I went from 4 foot to 5 foot and then just a little past 5 foot, that I grew completely out of my hair. All right. And so I'm having it's a height problem is what it is. And, somebody gave a gift to me the other day, and it was a comb. And I said, this comb is such a good gift. I'll never part with it. I will never part with it. Think about that for a second. And if that's funny to you, then you're in need of some good jokes, all right? And so come to Senior Saints where we have some good humor, all right? Now, Luke chapter 10, I'm going to draw your attention now to the end of the chapter, the last 4 or 5 verses here, beginning of verse number 38. And my wife is not here this morning. The thought of me preaching just made her ill. And actually, it wasn't her that is sick, but she is doing this morning something that may come out in this sermon. I as I read this passage, I'm reminded of a sermon that was preached years and years ago, and it was entitled "The Martyr of the Kitchen." The Martyr of the Kitchen. And most people, when you read what we're about to read, usually come out with the same idea, and that is that we have two sisters, and they are entertaining the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of their actions is better than the others. And because of that, we always come away thinking something about these two people. And I'm not here to change that this morning, but I'm here to draw attention not just to one or the other sister this morning, but as we enter the Bethany Bed and Breakfast this morning, we're going to talk to the curators, Mary and Martha. All right, and Lazarus, he's the capitalist, and of course, as the capitalist, he never wants to be a part of any of the work, so he's not here in this story. But we know that Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus, and he's away in this story. But we're going to enter into their house and have supper with them this evening, or this morning. And as they entertain the Lord Jesus Christ, I just want to draw attention to both of these ladies and what they do. So beginning in verse number 38, we'll read, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." I want to speak to you this morning, sermon titled, "Mary and Martha at Your Service." Let's pray. Now, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you are the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, you don't change, and you're faithful to us. And Lord, your word is faithfully true. God, it doesn't change. It doesn't have to adapt. It doesn't have to be updated. It doesn't have to be rewritten. Lord, we know, we that are here this morning know that it simply needs to be reread. And as we reexamine this passage this morning of this story, I pray, God, that you would bring out some truths to us, Lord, that would help us through our week. And Father, I'm not sure who this will speak to this morning, as I never am, God. Who is sufficient for this task? Who's sufficient to be able to preach to so many, to bring out from your word a message and yet have it meet the needs? But Lord, you know that there is someone here who needs this. And Father, if that person is under the sound of my voice and has their head bowed and their eyes closed with me this morning, God, I pray that you would meet their need. Lord, I do pray that you would bless the preaching of your word for your sake and not for mine and not for anyone else's, Lord, but it is your word, and we look forward to hearing from it. We look forward to hearing from thee. Bless our pastor this morning. I pray that you would please help him, give him power as he preaches. Pray, Father, that the words that he says, Lord, would influence and would change the hearts of somebody this morning, even to save souls, Lord, here or there, we pray. For it is all in Jesus' sake, and in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mary and Martha, at your service. This passage tackles the tough difference and the delicate balance that every Christian, and maybe not just Christians, but every person has to deal with, and that is a moderation in life. The Bible says, Paul said in a place, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. And moderation means to be temperate, not to go overboard in any one thing. But as the Lord said, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We're going to look at the balance this morning between work and worship, between study and service, between hearing and doing. This is the first appearance of Mary and Martha in the book of Luke, and according to the timeline, as best as I can tell, the first time that the Lord ever went into their house. Of course, you know later on the story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus in John chapter 11, as Lazarus falls sick and dies, and Mary and Martha are there beseeching the Lord. If he had been there, he would not have died. And then later in John chapter 12, a very beautiful passage that we'll look at the very end of our message this morning. But his relationship with this family begins here, and it continues on. And as they meet each other, as this first encounter happens, as is always the case, the Lord doesn't, it's not an empty occasion. You know, the first time you meet somebody, they're likely to put on an air, put on a show. They want to be the best that they can be. This is what Mary and Martha were in essence doing. The Lord, the first time you meet him, may I just say that he's the same the first time you met him as he is today. At one point, you met him, and you were thrilled at his presence. This morning, you come to church, and if you weren't thrilled at his presence, it wasn't because he's any less thrilling, but you're more unthrillable, okay? And that's just a fact. It's not a case of the Lord Jesus in this instance. He isn't putting on a show because he's a first-time guest at the Bethany House Bed and Breakfast, all right? This is not the case at all. The fact is what the Lord does here is just the way he acts all the time. And he wants folks to know that he knows. He wants you to know that he knows that you know that he knows. And not only that, but that he cares what's going on. Of course, Jesus never traveled alone. He's bringing 12 disciples with him. His disciples were all men. And so they figure, we're going to somebody's house, there must be food involved. You know, it never crosses a man's mind to go visit somebody where you don't eat something at some point. All right. And so just keep that in mind. Now, as Jesus comes into this house, anyone would have been thrilled to have Jesus. But here come these 12 hoodlums following him. And they're all hungry, all right? And not only that, but here come 12 hoodlums, and then here comes the extra hoodlum batch behind them, and they're all wanting to hear Jesus. And they're just the gawkers, the rubberneckers. They just want to see what's going on. They just want to be there. They're the paparazzi. They're just wanting to take pictures and see what's going on. And here's poor Mary and poor Martha, and it's their house that's been victimized in this story. Here they come. Here comes Jesus. Now, in all that activity and everything that's going on, it's easy to forget that this was the house of Mary and Martha. In fact, the Bible doesn't call it Mary and Martha's house. It says it was Martha's house. And being her house, she notices the mud that's being tracked in. Being her house, she notices as the men sit on her couch, she notices that hair is not going to come out very easily. That they've been petting a dog somewhere, and she smells every smell, she sees every sight, she notices everything that's not done, she notices the pile of dirty dishes, she sees all that stuff. It's her house. And with all the crowd and everything that's there, there's a lot to go on to take care of Jesus and 12 disciples. All right? Now, some of you are already depressed because you're thinking, man, this is my life, and he's just talking about my life. How is this? This is not uplifting at all. And I got to just say that most things that happen in our life don't serve to uplift us. And certainly, Martha's first encounter with Jesus wasn't destined to become very uplifting. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. Now, if any of those things had been left off, Martha, who had been before time serving in the shadows, would have been the focus of everybody's attention. In that the case, you ladies, now men in here, I'm speaking things that I know not of, okay? But ladies, I trust that you acknowledge what I'm saying is true. It's not the things that you do all the time that get the attention. It's the one thing that you forgot to do that gets everybody's attention. And if nobody else noticed before, you just quit doing one vital task and everybody's going to notice. And so there's Mary, there's Martha, and we see from the text there what they were occupied with. Question is, how do you get the Lord's attention exactly? In a crowd of people, I mean, the Bible says it was a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Certain means it was set apart, it was sought after. All right. It was especially picked. The Lord, anytime the Bible says that a certain somebody went somewhere in the life of Christ, it means that it was on purpose. It wasn't, had nothing to do with chance. The Lord sought out this place. It was to him, it was the place that he'd rather be over anywhere else. And, you know, if I'm Mary and seated at the feet of Jesus, I say, this is the best thing that ever happened. And if I'm Martha, I'm saying, why me? Why did he pick here? Why now? Why with all these people? And Martha, although she is the hostess to the greatest preacher, the greatest person ever in history, she fails to get the Lord's attention doing the things that must be done. You know, there's some folks that serve naturally. There's some of you that if the toilet paper was out in the bathroom this morning, you would have changed it. And you wouldn't have had to raise your hand in a congregation and announce that it needed to be changed or that you did it. You would just do it. There are folks here this morning that you didn't have to be asked when you sat down this morning to scoot in. You knew that somebody might want to sit by you, so you scooted in on the pew. You didn't have to be asked to hold the door for somebody. You didn't have to be asked to stomp your feet off before you came in. There's some people that naturally have a mind to serve. And for those of you that are that way, I want to say that God has special attention for you. It's the attention that he gives and that he focuses on Martha. Now you say, this doesn't sound like it's going to turn out very positive because didn't he rebuke Martha? Let's get through the story and I'll leave you to decide how his words come across. But the fact is the Lord not only noticed, but he cared and he instructed her with that. I want you to notice, first of all, we got to get some, presuppositions about Martha out of the way. First of all, we read this story and automatically you see Martha was serving, Mary was worshiping, and the Lord likes the worshiper better than he likes the worker. Let me just help you out with something. The reason most of us read that and we like it and we identify with Mary is not because we're really avid worshipers. It's because we're lazy. We all right? Can I say that? Can I say lazy in church and refer to you? All right. We look at Mary and we say, well, yeah, obviously that's where I'd rather be because Mary wasn't doing anything. May I just say that real worship can be as much work and can be as intense as the work is. And if you're doing worship the way you ought to, you'll be exhausted from it. All right. I don't think I don't nap any other day of the week. But on Sundays, I'm wore out after Sunday morning. And it's not because I'm moving bricks around. It's not because I'm cleaning or sweeping or anything else. It's because I'm at church. And when I sing, I want to sing as loud as I can. When I preach, I want to preach as loud as I can. And when I, anything I do, I want to do it with all my heart because this is the worship of God and I get one chance a week to do it. Now I work hard the rest of the week and I sweat and I'm tired. But on Sunday, it's an especial work because it's an especial worship. Now we got that out of the way. You like Mary because she sat at the feet of Jesus. Say yes, that's and instinctively we know that's where we ought to start and that's where we ought to be. But how many of us are really there? Some of us leave Martha's shoes absent and never fill Mary's. But we say, well, at least I'm not that. Sounds awful like a Pharisee that I know. It's Sounds an awful lot like, well, I'm not that, so therefore I must be better. Hey, you've never occupied the place of true worship. You've never sat with Mary at His feet either. You have much to be desired this morning, if that's you. Now, you're in good company if you found yourself in either one of these shoes here, but especially the case of Martha we'll look at first of all in verses 38 through 40. Let's look at Martha's case. She was welcoming, first of all. She received the Lord into her house. She invited them inside. I mean, she took on the responsibility. She looked at that group and any host, any person that is the owner of the house has the right to disinvite somebody. Has the right to say, no, I'm sorry, fire marshal says we don't have the capacity. You know, they have the right, they have the responsibility. It was her house, but the Bible says she received them into her house. She looked at Jesus, those 12 ruffians and that crowd of people and said, it's worth taking on this chore. And she received him into her house. Had it been Mary's house, she may have wondered. She may have been inquisitive. She may have thought it would be great to have Jesus over, but it wasn't in Mary's capacity to make it happen. It was never going to happen if it was up to Mary. It was just not going to happen. What Mary got to enjoy at the feet of Jesus was because her sister said, come on in. Are you following me? I don't know who you are this morning. There's a Mary in here and there's a Martha in here somewhere. And both of you, the problem is what we find in this story, both of them think they're better than the other and are upset at the other one. And they need to cut that out because the Lord doesn't think any less of either of them. You're in here this morning and your problem, maybe I thought about naming this message Two Women and a Man. You know, it's the worst love triangle you've ever seen. They're both trying to get his attention and are both think that they're working against each other. And the Lord is saying, it's okay. I recognize I pay attention to both of you and both of you mean something to me. But Martha invites him into his house. Now, she was also worshipful. Look at verse 39. The Bible says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Also sat at Jesus' feet. That means, if also is referring to the person we're talking about, it means that Martha sat at the feet of Jesus. Don't get to thinking that Martha was just, well, she just couldn't sit still. She had ADHD, you know. She just always had to be busy. She didn't have time. There's some people that make it an excuse not to be under the sound of preaching and not to sit at the feet of Jesus because I'm just a Martha. No, if you were a Martha, you would also sit at the feet of Jesus. She also said, now folks, what has happened is with our Bible is we've read this story and we already had our minds made up before it was over who we liked and who we didn't like, because that was the one we wanted to identify with. And so we pardoned all their sins and we erased all their flaws and said, that is who I'm like. I mean, I've never heard such a bunch. Baptist preachers are famous for identifying with Peter. Peter, and they say, I'm just like Peter. If I had a nickel for every Baptist preacher that said, I'm just like Peter. You're nothing like Peter. You don't know the first thing about it. And you know, the fact is that poor old Peter, he went through a lot and you wouldn't stand up. The devil never looked twice at you to desire you to sift you like wheat. Now I'm preaching to the men, ladies, just for a second, if I could. You say, I just feel like Peter. So no, you don't feel like Peter. You never put in the work. You never put in the time. You don't even love the Lord like you loved him. I think if the Lord would have had to sit down with you like he did with Peter over some broiled fish and say, do you love me? He would have had to say a lot more than three times before he got your attention. Amen. Sunday morning. Aren't we doing good? Luke chapter 10 now, it says that Martha also sat at his feet. Now she wasn't afforded the ability to stay at his feet. She had something else to do. But her influence, we see, led her sister to sit at the feet of Jesus. I believe that as Martha sat, here comes the sister, and she said, I saved you a spot. By the way, Mary never saves a seat beside her. She's concerned about getting close to Jesus, but she doesn't think about somebody else coming in. Martha always saves a seat. Martha always saves a seat. Now, once again, that's not to say one of these is a saint and the other is a sinner. I'm just pointing out there's a difference. And I'm pointing out some things maybe you didn't recognize about Martha. The Bible says that her sister also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40, now, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And I believe it happened this way. They're sitting there and Jesus is speaking. There's been no food served. There's been nothing set out. Martha is enjoying the word of Jesus. And as he's speaking, he clears his throat. And in Martha's mind, she said, I need to get him a cup of water. And she's been sitting and paying attention, and Martha, you say, well, Martha wasn't listening. That's the deal. I've heard that preached too, and I'm sorry. I just can't agree with every preacher I hear, and probably you don't either. But they say, you know, Martha just wasn't listening. If she'd have been listening to what he said, it would have been more important than what she was doing. But listen, I believe it's because all of her focus was on the Lord that she said, I am going to get up and serve. But she found out what a lot of servants do, that as you begin to serve the Lord, lots of other people need stuff. And they say, oh, you're a servant. Well, I was thirsty too. While you're up, and before long, there is no seat left for Martha, and she begins to be cumbered about much serving. And Martha is compelled to be a servant now. She's moved from the feet of Jesus into the place of servanthood. Now let me just say something about Mary. The Bible says in verse 40 that as she was cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me? She hath left me. That is to say that Mary wasn't doing any serving. That's what everybody thinks. Well, Mary wasn't serving. She was paying attention to Jesus. No, she was doing some serving as well. She was up with Martha serving and taking care of the guests and taking care of their needs. But when there was a chance, she found her way back to the feet of Jesus. And the reason she did that wasn't because she was more spiritual. It was because she needed to be there more than she did to be in the kitchen. And may I just say that Martha had a need as well. And at a point in your life, you need to be in the kitchen. And at some point in your life, you need to be at the altar. At some point in your life, you need to be in the pew. And at some point in your life, you need to be in the pulpit. At some point in your life, you need to be a rider, and at some point, you need to be the driver. I'm saying that that there is a sacrifice to be made, no matter where you find yourself sitting. But Mary found herself back at the feet of Jesus, and may I just say that she needed that. She needed that. Martha was able to bear the load, but she didn't want to. She felt alone. I mean, she was left all alone. That's probably the worst enemy of Christian service, is that you just get to feeling alone. Nobody's here. Nobody cares. You start to feel ignored. You walk in and, you know, as has happened sometimes, you're in a restaurant and somebody, the waitress comes to serve you and they're trying to set the plate down, but you've got your elbows on the table. You don't even know that they're there. And they're just trying to do their job, but they can't even get you to acknowledge that their presence. And may I just say, that doesn't just happen to a waiter in a restaurant. It happens in Christian service too. There are things that you just expect to be done. There's things that people that you expect to be there. And you don't care unless it's not happening. And then above all things, if I could say it that way, she feels insignificant. She sees how great it is to sit at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is getting all the attention, and she just feels like this is my last chance, and he's gonna come, he's teaching, he's imparting the words of life, and I'm missing all of it. And maybe it's because he doesn't want me to hear any of it. She begins to have these ideas about God. Maybe he doesn't notice the empty seat. He doesn't notice that nobody's helping me. He doesn't notice. He doesn't care about anything. And she begins, now her attitude towards the Lord begins to change. That's the danger of being a servant as well, is not only do you get employed by everybody else's ideas, but you start to have your attitude change toward God. The one that you were willing to serve at the start, but then you realize, well, serving God means serving people. And people aren't nearly as grateful as God is. And they're not nearly as worth it as God is. Well, that brings her to Jesus. May I just say this? If I want to say one thing into Martha's praise, is when she got to feeling that way, she came to Jesus. She didn't just go into the kitchen and start slamming pots and slamming doors. And I mean, we've all been there. You have something wrong, and so you begin to make a lot of noise. You know, if you're like me, you know, if I couldn't get somebody's attention, I'd be a terrible waiter. I would spill, I'm sorry. Did I spill this grape juice on your suit? I'm so sorry. You know, that would be me. That's why that's not a position for me. But, you know, I can just see if it had been many of us, we would have just made a scene. Or maybe we would have just said, let the bread burn. Let the water boil away. Let the dishes pile up and see if somebody will finally recognize, hey, we don't have any more cups to serve any more drinks in. Somebody's going to start caring that I'm in here slaving away. She didn't stop any of that stuff. But maybe something went wrong in the kitchen. She burned her finger on the stove. She couldn't get the pilot to light. She noticed that she went to turn on the water and a leak sprung. You know, any one of 100 things could have happened. And she gets herself together and says, I need to go to Jesus. Boy, that's the best place to go whenever you have problems in the kitchen, is to find a place with the Lord Jesus. And she comes to Him. Now, granted, she interrupts everything. But the Lord never rebukes her for interrupting anything. In fact, I would say that what He says to her, if this is a rebuke, I'll take a rebuke all day long. Did you read it? Did you see it? He says, Martha, Martha. You know, when the Lord calls somebody's name twice, it's usually not because He's angry at them. It's usually not, He's not yelling at them. It's because He's trying to soothe and trying to comfort them. Trying to get them to look Him in the face. Martha, Martha, thou art, He says, careful and troubled about many things. He just simply stated the obvious. But He says, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. The care of Jesus is what we see here in verses 41 to 42, that the way He addresses her, the way He receives her, coming into that, bursting into that room, with maybe as she opens the door to the kitchen, some preacher said the smoke billowed out behind her. There were so many things to keep up with, and she needed some help. And the Lord addressed her, said, thou art careful and troubled about many things. We would say, and none of those are important right now. But He didn't say that. He didn't say, and really, you have just been selfish. You've thought all these thoughts, and none of them are true. You just have selfish thoughts. He didn't even say that. He simply pointed out that there was a place that Mary needed to be, and He reminded her that it was a place that she had been. You know what happens at the end of this story? The Lord says, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And I believe the Lord invites her down to a seat to say, whatever's going on in the kitchen, just wait for a minute. Just come out and sit. I know that you're going to have to stand up and be dismissed again to take care of it. But come back for a second, because when service gets too much, then we need to get back to worship. We need to get back at His feet. It's how we tell that the balance is being thrown off. When you feel that your service is drowning you, that's the Lord's way of reminding you that you need to spend some time at His feet. That's not to say the service will ever go away, but it's to say that there's a limit. We all have a limit to what we can do. Now, He said, one thing is needful. One thing at a time. Mary served. Mary sat at His feet. Martha served. Martha sat at His feet. But Martha was trying to do two things at once. The Lord said, do one thing. Just one thing. You know, I found that I can't clean and work around my house at the same time. When we were remodeling our house, I found that if I was going to be working on the remodel, it was going to get dirty. Sawdust, I mean, paint on the floor. And so I had to take time. This is what I'm going to do now, and then I'm going to clean up. But I can't keep my work area clean while I'm working. It's just not going to happen. If I'm going to get any work done, I've got to do one thing and then the other. In your Christian life, I think you're trying to go plow forward and plant seed at the same time. And I mean, those modern combines, I guess, can do all that stuff. But the fact is most of us are not equipped for that. You're not equipped. You can't plow, sow, and reap all at the same fell swoop. You've got to do one thing at a time. If you're going to make any progress in your life, it's going to be one thing at a time. to get in too big a hurry is to invite the greatest disaster of your Christian life, to get in too big of a hurry. I finished my Bible yesterday through, and I always love finishing my Bible. I love seeing the words "the end" and then going back and reading "in the beginning." I love a God that has this book so put together that as soon as you get to the end, you just are waiting for what's next. He's the only one that could ever write a book that way. I've read books that at the end I wanted to see the next one, but this is the only book when I read, when I get to the end, I want to see it all over again. Yeah, I read this Bible through, and you know, the Bible is just a superior book. You know, in print, at the dawn of print, they began to make books, and the Bible was one of the first of its kind. Of course, it was an early printing, but it was the first of its kind as it had columns on the page. Other books would just, especially since printing was so hard to do, they would try to fit as many words on a page as they could. At the Bible, they took the time and they put it in columns on a page. Newspapers print that way, often with columns, but then that seemed to go the way of the world. Nobody was reading newspapers anymore. I mean, that just the internet websites came up, and now you had your text on a screen, and you had we went from a 15-inch screen to a 20-inch screen to a 24-inch screen, and now our computer screens are as big as our TV screens. And we were reading stuff on there, and we said, well, what? This is technology. This is progress. Get as much information on the page as you can. And here is your old King James Bible with its two columns, two archaic columns, you know. And then they came out with a cell phone. And all of a sudden, people began to read and started to read even more than they ever had before. And you know why they were reading more? It's because the words were only in columns 2 inches wide. And people began to say, hey, this is a really good idea. And so now everything, all the monitors, everything starts to shrink back up again into columns. And you know what you had the whole time? You had a Bible with columns about 2 inches wide. And you know what it's broken into? Websites. You know, numbers and letters put together so you'd know where you were at in Navigate. We're in Luke chapter 10, verse 24. You're going to read your Bible. You know what you need to... what I'm saying is that you've got a book that's set up for reading. You know how you make progress through this book? One page at a time, one chapter at a time, one verse at a time. And as you finish one verse, you go from one to the next, and it's broken down so that you'll be able to finish one thing at a time. Mary sat, and she wasn't that she wasn't going to serve ever. It was just that right now she was going to sit because that was what she needed to do. Martha didn't realize that there was a time for service and a time for sitting. She was upset at her sister, but she found that the best place was back there at the feet of Jesus. Now, one thing ought to lead to the next, though. One thing ought to lead to the next. And with this final thought, I just want to illustrate to you the fact that what happens in this house, for one thing, it wasn't the last time that Mary and Martha would ever see the Lord Jesus. I'm sure that's what Martha was thinking. She was on the first impression kick, and she thought, everything is going in the wastebasket. There's nothing here. The Lord will never come back. And we find that the Bible says that the Lord loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. He loved the whole family. He enjoyed them so much, he came back. He came back. Now, that being one thing, I believe that the voice of the Lord Jesus, a lot of times, we who want to be in the place of Mary will say, I just love to hear his voice. And I've just got a Mary personality. All right? That works for ladies. But men, let me flip pages with you. If you were in the military, I don't think that any one of you would say, I just loved the voice of my drill instructor. I just loved it. The sound of his voice, it would wake me up in the morning and it put me to bed at night. I've never been in the military, but I know enough to know that's foolishness. And you all listening to me, you say, but yet you listen to him though. But you listen to him for a reason, because you knew that if you had voluntarily submitted to being there, what he said was going to help you do what you wanted to do. I'm not saying the Lord's like a drill instructor, but what I am saying is that what he tells you is not just words that are like poetry, that just are supposed to bounce off your emotions and make you feel better. Sometimes he will tell you what to do. And sometimes Mary sits there and says, I just love to hear the sound of his voice. And the Lord says, Mary, I asked for a drink of water. Mary. And I just love to hear your voice, Lord. I believe the Lord needs Martha's to hear him as well as he needs some Mary's to hear him. Because Mary, it bounces off of her a different way. And some of us, we sit there and we say, well, I'm just a Mary, and you're just a, and if I can say it this way, if I could just be as nice as I possibly can be, you're just a good for nothing Mary. I just, you know, you just love the sound of his voice, and you want him to make you feel a certain way, and you care about you and him, but mostly about you, and whatever he says, you're not willing to do. Now, Mary wasn't that case, though. That's just what we think of as Mary. Come with me, if you would, now to the book of John. Come to the book of John, chapter 12. One thing ought to lead to the next. Now, everything is in its order. Listen, what Martha missed is that she needed to sit and worship before she should serve and work. That's how it works. That's how it should be. One thing in its order. If you don't get one thing done right, you'll not do the second thing right. And that's what Martha figured out. She was cumbered about much serving, and it wasn't going right because she hadn't finished the first thing. But in order for there to be a proper worship, it has to be in its place. We have church one day a week. I expect to make the most out of this day. I want to make the best out of this worship. As we sing, you know, as I told Brother Matthew, some of the songs we sing, as I'm hearing myself sing them, I thought, you know, that sounded a lot better in my head. And the songs I pick for us to sing, and maybe you think that way too. Maybe, Brother Lewis, it'll sound better in your head. But I hear it and I say, well, I wanted my voice to sound this way. I wanted to sing this way. And you wake up and you've got a frog in your throat and you think, well, here we go. It's going to be as good as it can be. But it's the worship of God, and I'm going to spend this day doing that. But then I have 6 days or 5 days if you don't count Wednesday, that I don't come here. And I don't enjoy the worship of God and the singing of God. And I don't enjoy the Word of God being opened and preached. What am I to do with those days? Should I try to extend the church, and should I try to make every day a meditation? Or maybe, he said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And maybe the Lord had something else that after I hear him, I should do. After I listen, I should put it into practice. In John chapter 12. Now, you know John chapter 11. May I just say that both Mary and Martha, at the point of trial in John chapter 11 when their brother dies, they both come to the Lord with questions. They both are grieving. They both are hurt. Those two personalities are not so different when it comes to the life in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no reason to get more upset at one or the other. The Marys in the world don't understand any more than the Marthas do. But when you come to John chapter 12, which is the last time the Lord would ever come to this house. The Bible says this, then Jesus 6 days, we're in John chapter 12 and verse 1, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which he had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. And Martha served. Here she is, she's back doing what she does best. Martha served. Now, in light of her brother being raised, there's not a complaint from her. In light of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not a word spoken. There's not a cross word between her and Mary. There's not a cloud in the sky between her and the Lord Jesus Christ. But she finds that now that he's here, it's my time to serve. Don't save Martha a seat. She's going to be busy. It's not because she doesn't love the Lord Jesus. It's because she sat, she heard, and in John 11, we read that she said, I believe too. She had her ears open, and now she's serving. The Bible says, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now we've got somebody new sitting and listening and learning. May I say that they're facilitated, they're helped to do that by Martha. Lazarus would have never been able to sit there and enjoy it had there not been a Martha to serve. But for us, for those of us or those of you that would say, well, where's Mary at? Of course, Mary's got to be doing something peculiar. What is she doing? Oh, and she is. Verse number 3, the Bible says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She comes to the Lord Jesus now with a sacrifice. A sacrifice that was expensive, far more expensive at one time than anything Martha could have done, but something that only Mary could have done, sitting at the feet of Jesus. If Mary hadn't spent the time at the feet of Jesus, she may never have made the sacrifice later on. You never know who you might be talking to, who you might be helping. Martha was always going to be serving. And you know who she would be serving? She would be serving the Lord Jesus. She would be serving Peter, the Pentecostal revival preacher. She would be serving John, the one who would get to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, she was serving Lazarus. Who was he? He was just a man that had been dead, raised to life by the Lord. Who was Martha getting to serve? She was getting to serve Mary, who, because of her love for the Lord Jesus, gave him the very best that she had. Something the Bible says that in every gospel is recorded, the anointing of Jesus Christ. Something that makes her stand out for the rest of time. She anointed him because she knew he's not going to stay dead. I'm not going to have a chance to do this after he's crucified, so I'll anoint him now. She believed in the resurrection. You say, now, I just want to be Mary. She knew something that Martha didn't know. I go back a chapter, and Martha says, I believe that thou art the Son of God. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. But Martha got to smile on the sacrifice from her place at the kitchen. Mary got to be the one to make the sacrifice. And there was not a crossword between them. There was not an argument. And Martha, she gets to be the servant. She gets to be the servant. She gets to be the one that gets the inside scoop on everything. She gets to be the one that is always there. She gets to be the closest to Jesus. You know, you get to, if you ever got to sit down at dinner with somebody very important, if you're like me, they sit you way away from them. You get to sit way at the other end of the table. I got to, you know, go out to dinner with Dr. Ruckman, my Bible teacher. And well, there were so many people there, and I'm just down. If I wanted to talk to him, I'd have to send him a carrier pigeon. You know, I'd have to fly a paper airplane down there if I wanted to talk to him. But I was in the same room. But you know who gets to be right next to him? Talk to him, find out what he wants. Make his day. The servant. And although I was a guest of honor to be there at the same table, I didn't get as close as the waiter did. Made me want to go back there and put on an apron. Made me want to go back there and pick up a dish towel. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm saying don't envy either place, but make a place for both of these things. Because it's at a certain point in your life, folks, one thing, you'll need it in as great a measure as you can get. There was two ships, the SS Andrea Doria and the MS Stockholm, were both built after World War II with the most up-to-date radars that they had at the time. They could detect a ship up to 15 miles away. They were built, the Andrea Doria was in its elegance was said to be the successor of the Titanic. It was a beautiful ship, an Italian luxury liner. And these two ships, it was actually the captain of the Andrea Doria, it was his last voyage. It was his retirement voyage. It was the last one, and he would be done. His career over. Successful captain. And as they were coming in a very familiar shipping lane with their state-of-the-art radars, there fell a fog. And of course, the fog was no danger for a ship equipped with radar. And at 15 miles away, the Stockholm and the Andrea Doria picked up that they were on a course for each other. Both ships saw it. Both of the crew made a decision to do nothing about it. And they got closer. As they inch closer and closer, I say inch, as they begin to sail closer to each other, even the radar and with all the technology that they had, they just kept ignoring it until breaking through the fog, the hull of the SS Stockholm breaks through with its glacier crushing keel and begins to barrel right towards the Andrea Doria. Both ships at that instant turned, stopped their engines, reversed their engines. They shifted weight. The captain in those minutes, those 2 or 3 minutes, did everything in their power to turn and avert a collision. But to no avail. The Stockholm rammed the ship broadside and sent her to the bottom of the ocean. You say, what was needed? Well, at 15 miles out, if they'd have made an alteration of 1 or 2 degrees, it wouldn't have been a story to talk about. At 10 miles, if they'd have made an alteration of 5 or 6 degrees, it wouldn't have been a news item. At 5 miles out, there was so much they could have done. But at the last instant, they knew, we need to do one thing, we need to do it now. But they couldn't do enough of it at the last minute. And so where you're at in your life today, you know that there's one very important thing you need to do. And you need to start with that before you move on to anything else. But if you wait too long, it won't matter how much passion you pour into it, how much you believe in it, and how much you're convinced that this is the right thing to do, you will not be able to do enough of it. May I just say this morning that if you're supposed to be serving, you need to be serving. If you need to be sitting, you need to be sitting and doing that, nothing else. But before you serve, before you sit, if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, it doesn't matter what personality that you hold. You need to do that. And not wait till too late. Not wait till too late. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.